Okay, we're gonna start. One of the panel had a previous speaking engagement right before this. He's real close to being here. We're gonna start without him. I wanna welcome you all. This is kind of a panel. We're gonna each do like 5 minutes or so of what we're doing after the introduction, and then we're going to have a lot of time for questions. Okay, so that's our plan. There's three of us on the panel. Myself, Gary Dose from Iowa, Ron McGowan from Texas, and Dean Wheelock from Wisconsin. We all do three different things in the prison ministry field. So we want to give ideas and examples what the needs are and different things. Everyone can do something a little different. It's just fine. And we have a special guest today. Unadvertised, but I want to thank him for his courage. So the purpose of this talk, again, is to raise awareness of the needs of the Messianic brothers and sisters we have in the prisons. I've been told the Sabbath-keeping belief system in the prison is the fastest-growing belief system in the prisons, second fastest next to Islam. Matthew 25, I want to read Matthew 25 because it's pretty somber. Matthew 25, I'm going to just jump up here to verse 38. When saw that we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when we saw the sick or in prison, came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least, one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when we saw thee not a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. It's pretty sombering. You know, we are to go out and help those weaker than us, those in prison, those the widows, the orphans, and all this. It's what we're called to do. I always wondered, how can I visit somebody in prison? We don't have any close to us and things like that. 3 years ago, I was totally clueless about our Messianic brothers and sisters in the prisons. I didn't know anything about it. Shirley brought this to my attention. In Dean Wheelock's, one of his articles, there was a little thing about prison need for a prison pen pal system set up. We were wanting to do something, something beyond ourselves, because we're all alone. We're in a kind of a closed setting, no fellowship. She brought this to me, and I first really rejected it. I thought, and I didn't say this, but no way, I don't want to have anything to do with people, and it's really, really, truly, that's how I felt. But as I've been taught years and years ago, if you're not listening to your wives, you should be listening to your wives. The Father speaks to you through them. They're not always right, but pay attention to what they say. And so I do that. So I put it into my computer and I process it, and think about it. And I started thinking, maybe I should look into this. So we looked into it, a little bit. And I started discovering, there's a whole network of people in the prisons who are very much underserved by us on the outside. They don't fit in with the Christians because they believe in Yeshua. Because they want to be Torah observant and Sabbath keeping and things. And they don't fit in with the Jewish belief system because of their belief in Yeshua, this Messiah. So, as more I looked at this, I thought, it looks like the Father's working in the prisons. And it ain't about us and what we go out and do. We need to join him in what he's doing. And he's working in the prisons. There's a huge need there, a huge desire there. It's not too glorious, but it don't have to be glorious. It's about doing what we're called to do. Whether it's a widow or the orphan or whatever, we should look out and reach out beyond ourselves. Okay, so anyway, I just want to tell you a little bit about what we do. Ron will tell a little about what he does, and Dean, and our special guest here. And again, you know, we were all alone. We're looking for fellowship. We're praying for fellowship. You know, when this prison thing came along, well, you know, we can have fellowship by letter. You know, it ain't really what we want, but we can have that. And that's what we have now. So we explored this. And again, all the good ideas we get in our family, most of them come from my wife. So she's really, really, truly, you know. And maybe not every family's that way. Mine is. And she's the biggest blessing Yahweh's ever given me. So other than he's revealed his son to me. So anyway, we looked into this pen pal thing, and we decided, you know, can we do something with a pen pal thing and organize something? We thought, well, you know, maybe we better have a couple pen pals first so we can talk intelligently about it. Because how do we promote something that we don't do? So we got on a couple pen pals. We got them from Sabbath Keeping Fellowship out of Texas. By the way, they have a website that's a pretty good thing to look at as far as giving you acquainted with our prisoners and our friends in the prisons. And that's where we kind of, one of the first places we looked. We picked up a couple of pen pals from them. I think they've discontinued the pen pal program because sadly there's not interest in that. There's not much interest. So, you know, you can still do pen pals. We can connect you with a pen pal, or some of these other people can connect you with a pen pal. Maybe Sabbath Keepers could connect you with a pen pal if you're interested in that. But anyway, we took a couple pen pals on. We did it as a family project. We're thinking we're going to involve the family in this. We want to do a family outreach. Now, when we work with the pen pals, it's all addressed by me. They don't know anything. I don't talk about my family. They don't know anything about I'm married, I have children, any of that stuff. We talk about Torah. We talk about life, what we're dealing with in life, and how we apply Torah principles to these situations. These are the guidelines we set for us. Okay, we don't want to talk about the weather and economic things going on in the world and all these kind of things. We want to talk about Torah. This is about building up each other in Torah. Okay, our relationship is around Yahweh, it's not a buddy-buddy thing. Okay, this is what we set up. You know, we get good feedback from these guys, and we're clueless as to what life is like inside the prisons. I'm totally clueless. I still am, pretty much. But we start sending in this commentary to them. When we started our Hebraic walk, it was a commentary. We met somebody in Iowa who wrote a commentary, and so blessed us in this commentary to help bring us along and teach us things, you know. There's a lot of good commentaries out there. Iowa is blessed with one author who is just really, really, really blessed us, who I'm pleased to say is listening today. And I'm blessed by that. And they can see what some of their fruits are doing. So Shirley came up with this idea. Anyway, we sent these commentaries into these two prisoners. We picked up a third one. And they would share them with people, and so we would we got feedback, and it blessed these other prisoners too. So again, Shirley came up with this great plan. Well, let's get a list of other leaders into prisons, and let's limit it, you know, to a certain amount. But then let's send them the commentary and ask them to share them with their fellowships and to pass them around and duplicate our efforts. Okay, we don't have much time, you know. So we did that. We obtained a list of about 30 people, leaders of different Messianic communities around the country. They have an organized system inside the prisons, And we sent out a sample and asked that if they want to get this to respond. About 20 or 25 of them did affirmatively. And so we started mailing in. Well, then it's grown since then. Our list is now over 50. We estimate, would they duplicate it? They pass them around. When they're done, they pass them around. They keep them in files. They use them in their studies, in their teachings, in their discipleship. They're very limited in what they have Bibles and humashes and things like that. A lot of them, the siddurs, they do not have commentaries and things that help them prepare their sermons and different things and their teachings and all that. There's a huge need for that. Anyway, we estimate that well over 300 people read this commentary in the prisons because some can only share with one or two. One guy wrote, he says they got 140 in their group, and that's those. The commentary is their main thing they use in their studies, and I also estimate there's indirectly hundreds more affected by this commentary that we send in because they use it in their, you know, a little bit here and there in what they do, but I'd say at least 300 people read the whole thing. And you know, they use them in their midrashes and teachings and stuff, even when they just meet one on one. We also partner with some other ministries and do some behind the scenes work for them. One ministry they forward us every request they have for a Bible. We send in a King James, a complete Jewish Bible to those prisoners. We're going through a couple cases every couple months, probably case a month or something like that, and that's increasing. Another project we do is one ministry needed help with mailing in tallits and kippahs and things, so we mail them in for them. They send us information and different things and where to send them. The big thing about that, they're very nice tallits. They came from Israel, but the tzitzits did not have the blue thread in them. My wife unties all these tzitzits, ties in a blue thread, and reties them. Okay? She's done like 200 of them already. And there's four on each one. It's 800 tzitzits. When we go somewhere, when we come here this time, she's got her bag of tallits, and she's tying, you know, and we listen to teaching tapes and different things, and she's doing that. I mean, what a blessing. See, and there's somebody out there with this tallit over him, worshiping the Father. You know? You know, and these are all kind of behind the scenes things we're doing. We're starting a pilot project with mailing in CDs and DVDs to prison. We selected one prison to just check it out to see what it would take on our part to do that. We don't have time to do those things. We don't have time to do anymore. We want to pass on some of the things we do. Hopefully other people will come up with an interest in helping. And we've also found one other thing. We've found it's been very helpful to other ministries. Have been very helpful to us. They'll donate us CDs, tapes, commentaries. I mean, they've even let us change the formats on them and try to condense them down into smaller sizes so we can get more in with less postage. Everybody's been very helpful. I really appreciate that. A lot of good things going on out there, but we need more workmen in the kingdom. And I don't want to take up any more time. I got a lot more, but I hope you get the kind of picture what's out there and what's available. A lot of things you can do.
Okay, my name is Dean Wheelock. My wife Susan and I have a ministry called Hebrew Roots. Most of you are probably familiar with it. And we started in 1996. And it's been growing ever since. There was a man and his wife that used to come to the feast here. Some of you may have known him, Alan Albright, and his wife Dorothy. Alan was worked in one of the prisons in Texas, and we first met Alan in the feast in 96 up in Estes Park, Colorado, and it was a very small feast site, so we had a lot of time to sit around and schmooze, and Alan was responsible for us, our initial contact into prisons. When we started Hebrew Roots, I had no thought about prisons at all. It just didn't enter my mind. It's not something a lot of us ever think about. unless we have somebody in our family who's incarcerated. So anyway, he would leave, since he worked there, he couldn't talk to them about religion, but he'd leave literature on his desk. He supervised a wood shop, and he said guys would come in and ask him a question. They'd see something sitting there like Hebrew Roots or other things, and they'd say, "What's this?" And he'd say, "Oh, it's something I get in the mail." "Well, could I take it and read it?" Sure. Well, all of a sudden we started getting requests from prisoners in this one Texas prison. And then we met Alan. And unfortunately, Alan retired, and then he taught in the prisons for a number of years. And Alan passed away in May, sad to report. He was really a great aid to the prisoners in his area in Texas. But anyway, it started to grow. At first, I thought every man in Texas was incarcerated.
Or should be.
Be careful now. So anyway, it began to grow. And I had no idea where it was going, and I still don't have any idea where it's going. And then we started to get requests from other states. And it would be from, I guess, family members would tell someone in their family who was incarcerated about Hebrew Roots, and they'd write in and get it. And since we don't charge for anything, it became quite popular. At the last issue we mailed in August of this year, we had almost 1,500 prisoners on our mailing list.
Yes.
In most every state of the Union. And at first, they would send letters and they'd ask questions, and I would try and answer those questions. I can't do that anymore. There's just not enough time, not enough hours in the day. And unless it's something that's just crying for an answer, and even then sometimes it doesn't happen. So anyway, that's what we do, and then we got connected with Gary and Shirley Dose, and their requests, we would get requests from people for Complete Jewish Bible. We had a woman in Tennessee who did that for a while, and then she couldn't afford to do it anymore, and so she stopped. And this is one of the things I suggested to Gary that they, if they were interested, they could do, and I'm so glad they are. So anyway, that's basically what our ministry is, and it just keeps growing and growing. Every time I pick up mail, we get 10, 15 more requests for new subscribers in the prisons. We have more prison subscribers than we have what I call regular subscribers. And the prisoners, of course, very few of them can donate. And in fact, some now in prisons in Texas are not allowed to even send postage stamps to us, they tell us. And once in a while we get a small check from somebody. And it's a real sacrifice, I know, for these people who are sending us donations. So anyway, is Ron coming?
I don't know where he is. I'll do,
okay.
Since I am the other half of him.
Yes, Ron and Donna McCowan, they visit in the prisons. And so Donna's going to tell you a little about that.
Yeah, unlike these two folks who go through the mail and whatever, Ronnie and I physically go into prison. We now have 6 prisons. The first Sabbath we have 2 and a little church. The second Sabbath we have 1. The third Sabbath we have 2. And the fourth Sabbath we have 1. And if there's a fifth Sabbath, we go back to the third Sabbath with 2. So we are in direct contact with the prisoners. And we have over 350 in our 6 prisons. And I am mom to all of them. Because if they get out of line back there, you know, so I treat them like my child, and that's, so I'm mom. But we go in and do a church service. We have the I blow the shofar, fancy that. And then we do the Shema, we sing songs, and I take in a CD, and we have to have overheads with transparency so they can have the music. We used to try to tote in songbooks, that we only had one prison at that time. So it's grown to other things, and Ronnie teaches Torah. I have been teaching Hebrew. We have gone through First Fruits, all of their first Hebrew up to 12, which is all the letters and the verbs, and I mean the vowels and the sophites and all this. So we're going to start a new thing. We always send in a matzah at Passover. This year we helped Lisa and Nancy with
Sabbath keepers,
yeah. So we went in, Ronnie did, and another person went in to help with. We sent in matzah, grape juice, and horseradish. We had them gone to all of our prisoners. And in Texas, if your travel card doesn't say Messianic, Jewish, Churches of God, House of Yahweh, sometimes you get left at the gate. So that's why we make sure all of our prisons, everybody that attends our congregation, gets a packet. And during the, if there's a holy day close to the time that we're there, we try to take in food, like fruit. They don't get a lot of, they don't get any fresh fruit. They get a lot of canned. And so last year we did Passover at our Gatesville unit. We took in chicken and salads and all kinds of stuff. And I baked unleavened cake, which was the shape of a lamb. And we took in unleavened bread. And of course, they had matzah. So we had to have our service at 9:30 in the morning. So there they were eating barbecue chicken at 9:30 in the morning, which they didn't care. So we are able to do this in Texas, but we have to start a month or 2 months ahead. I mean, just to get other volunteers in is nearly an act of Congress, because Texas prisons really aren't fond of the Sabbath keepers. They don't mind Seventh-day Adventists because the only thing different to them is they keep the Sabbath, but they keep Christmas and Easter and all these other things and believe in the rapture. And so they're not much different than the regular Christians. The folks that we are, we don't fit into Christian, we don't fit into Jewish. So we're just out here by ourselves. And Ronnie is working on getting in Huntsville as a spokesperson. Him and Monty Judah are trying to get in to be the spokesperson for the Messianic community of what we do, what we don't do, and that sort of thing. And the one of the problems is with the different moon sightings and all this, Texas only regards the rabbinic calendar. Now, you can count all you want when you sight the moon or whatever, but they'll only give them lay-ins for the rabbinic calendar. So, you know, you have to do whatever you do on your day, but you're not getting a lay-in. Same way with when you do the moon. See, Atonement was off this year, and Yom Teruah was off this year because of the moon sighting in Israel really wasn't sighted, and they declared it on the third day. So the Texas prisons don't take into consideration any of that. You know, it's their ball and their field, and they're going to play their game. So we have to kind of work in and out of their rules. You know, the guys can't have menorahs, so they have to, some of them improvise on Friday night, put up a picture of a menorah, two candles, and they put two lights on them. At Hanukkah time, they put a big Hanukkah up there and add lights with tape. You know, they do what they can. So, you know, our Jewish brethren did that during the Holocaust. So, why not us? You know? So, we have a lot of... And we write to our people back and forth. And there's a thing called JPay now, so it makes it much easier on Ronnie and I to... We can jot down an email and send it to them. And even if they've been moved... It's going to get to them. So then they have to write us back snail mail, but, you know. And ours only comes to our church address. There's only one prisoner in the system that has our home address, and he was going to come to our house. So that didn't happen. But he's got another 6 months, and he'll be out for good. We deal with these guys when they come out sometimes. We've had them come there and stay. And when Ronnie was working, before he was retarded, he put them to work laying brick and making mud and laboring. But now they go to halfway houses, and we try to help them at the halfway houses, and they are not real good, okay? They are Christian halfway houses. There are no halfway houses for Sabbatarians, whether you're Seventh-day Adventist or not. So we need some halfway houses, which has been Ronnie's dream, but so far Yahweh hadn't decided this is what we need to do, because they have to go to church on Wednesday and Sunday. Irregardless. And they have to work on the Sabbath. So they have to do the best they can to deal with the halfway houses. And they serve them pork. So just like in prison, they have to go around and eat something else, or, you know, so, and before they, this is not bad, before they can go away, they have to have chores around the house. Because it's their house. Unfortunately, it's not really for them, but it's still where they're living. So they have chores to do. We donated a shofar to one prison because they had some little podunk thing about yay big that sounded like somebody stepped on a cat's tail, even with me. And in Texas, everything has to go through the chaplain. You can't send in tallits or kippahs or shofars or stuff like that because they have to give an I-60. That's like getting a permit slip to go to the principal's office, you know. They have to turn in an I-60, and then the chaplain has to take that to the warden and get it okayed so that it can be on his property list. Because if they have a shakedown and it's not on their property list, it gets taken away from them. Because, see, some prisoners leave. They leave somebody a book or a Strong's. And if it does not get on their property list, when there's a shakedown, it's gone. And that's unfortunate. But they know they're not going anywhere, so there's no hurry about answering the I-60s. And they put in one I-60 after another, and then finally the chaplain gets really tired of this and then, you know, goes and tries to get something done or said, this guy's a pest, deny him or whatever. And the chaplains do that. Because, you know, in one of our prisons we got an Indian from India who is Catholic. And we've got another Catholic somewhere else. And we have Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, and the Catholics are the ones against us the most. We find opposition with the Catholic chaplains more so than anybody else. You want me to do it? Okay. The special speaker that they were talking about a while ago is somebody that was in one of our congregations. And probably against my better judgment and Ronnie's better judgment, he is going to speak to you today about what people sending things in from the outside mean to the guys inside. Dean's material was instrumental in his coming to some of the truth and to the growth that he has had. And there's another person in here that they're not going to talk. But we went to a feast site when Lake Murray was shut down one year. And we went to this other feast site, and we know the person. So Ronnie got to talk a lot. And we took a lot of Dean's material down there and set it out for anybody who wanted to pick it up. She is now a Messianic, this person is. And they were baptized several years ago, and they come to the feast every year. Okay, I'm sorry. So, but without further ado, Mr. Fabian.
God, I could listen to you the whole thing. It's great. We got so much to try to fit in here. We want to leave quite time for questions.
Shalom. My name is Fabian. This is hard for me. I stand before you as living proof that the work that they are doing works. I would not be standing right here if Yahweh had not used that man right there. I will not be here if Yahweh had not used my mother and Saran. I am a former inmate. Let that sink in a little bit. I pray that you do not judge me by my past. We are still in the flesh, and a lot of you may. And when you go back home, well, wait a minute, what's this guy doing here? What has he done? What was he like? According to Scripture, my past no longer matters. Amen. And if some of you still feel it, then my Father, judge between you and I. I will feel no differently then than I do now. I love every single one of y'all because my Father loves me and He loves you. I went into the prison system in August of 2003. In November of 2003, I got one of Dean's publications. I got on the mailing list. It took 5 years for my Father to get through my thick head. But He did. Because of things that these guys are doing. We need help on the inside. The ones that are going need support. Mother talked about the difficulty of getting things. When I first decided to change my travel card, which states everything that you are, what you may or may not have, I started in April of 2008 with the I-60s, which is an official request to the officer, to the warden, to whomever, to get something done, to go see a doctor, to go see the warden, just go see anybody. It's an official request. I did not get to get laid in. A lay-in is an official pass from TDC that says, okay, you are to go here at this time, or you are not to do this. So that meant that we can keep the Sabbath, that we are not required to work on that day because we are laid in because of our religious beliefs. It wasn't until July of 2008 that the chaplain decided, after, as Mother said, many numerous I-60s, he came up to me and he tried to talk me out of it. And he encouraged me against it. And he started pointing this, this, and this, and this, and this out. But he still did it anyways because I kept bugging him about it. From that point forward, I received persecution from the chaplain himself, from other Christians that he sent. Y'all need to go talk to Fabian. He's trying to become a Jew. He's done this or he's done that. Massive persecution. At that time, I still had a very bad mouth. Mother says I still do, and maybe I do. But I had enough working knowledge because of studies that people like them send in of Scripture. And I was not very nice to them because I used very horrible language. But with inmates, sometimes you need to take that sledgehammer and knock them upside the head. Mother says that's what she does all the time with me. But I need it. And I am grateful for it. Because some of us will only learn the hard way, especially on the inside. We only know the hard way. That was the only way I could fight them off. And it took a good year for them to finally quit bothering me. But I did use Scripture. Maybe in nice words, but I did use Scripture. And I kept them off of me. One of y'all spoke earlier about the Muslims. I had more assistance on observing my feast, my Sabbath, my food laws from the Muslims and the Native Americans than I did the Christians. They were more apt to give me pork than to say, hey, this has porks in it, you don't want it. When it comes down to, in Texas, you get a lot of pork. A lot of pork.
We raise a lot of pork.
And at the unit I was on, they started cracking down on how much peanut butter we were supposed to get because that's really the only substitute besides maybe cheese or an egg. But we, as Messianics or Jews, were given very little. If it was a Muslim and the guy behind the counter was serving them, he got plenty. We did not. Messianics is heavily persecuted in TDC, Texas Department of Criminal Justice. There is no justice there. The help that Dean, Ron, and Gary need is vast. When Mother and Saran come back and they tell me how much more their congregation has increased, I get a massive kick out of it. Because it was growing where I was. In West Texas, there have no Sabbath keepers. It was difficult for me to keep the feast. Congregate? No. To have our Scriptures open on the Sabbath at a table? Of course, here come the Christians. Then come the officers, and if the chaplain happened to be in the wing at the time, yes, we were questioned. Oh, and Father forbid we ask for one of these. It is bad enough that Lisa and Nancy had difficulty getting these in. They no longer can have any blue thread on them. They fought tooth and nail just to keep the blue thread in the seat itself. What we need, what I used to need, what they need now, is unity out here between the different ministries. If there is no unity outside, what chance do they have? They need y'all out here as a voice for them. Because when we needed things done, we had no one to contact. No one would help. No one could help. I ask y'all, as someone who is on the inside, that my Father has changed me. That's why I'm here. Because of work that they have done, because my Father has sent them. Help them. Help us. Texas needs volunteers massively. Massively. By my Father's blessings, when I get back, my time is at that point where I'll be able to be a guest volunteer for the next 6 months. After that, I'm going into full-time prison ministry, as my Father allows me the finances to go wherever it is that I'm needed to hold Sabbath services. All they need is a person there. Most of them can do things on their own. They just need somebody there to say, I love you. I am here for Yahweh. I am here for you. Let's get this party started. That's what they need. Volunteers. Help my brothers and sisters. They need you. Shalom.
Okay, we're going to take some questions now. I'll try to repeat them for the recording. A couple comments first here by Dean.
There's a lot of ways you can get involved in prison ministry. As Fabian pointed out, one of the most important would be to go in and visit and teach. But that's not something everyone can or wants to get involved in, at least not initially. And so what we want to do is kind of explore with you some thoughts and some ideas. Susan and I have thought for years that we'd like to see a pen pal ministry, a really functioning pen pal ministry. The guys want it, but there's so few people who are willing to do it. But there's some ground rules that need to go with that. You do not give your home address. You get a P.O. box, and it goes to the P.O. box. It'd be best if the P.O. box wasn't in the city or the town where you lived. It might be in a town close by. Because you don't know who you're dealing with until you get to know them. And quite frankly, there are a lot of con men in prison. I've had personal experience in that years ago when I hired a bank robber. And he was a con man. And he conned us real big time. But there are the very sincere ones, the ones who are really being called, who are really touched by the message. And they have questions. Oh, do they have questions? We get letters. Oh, do we get letters? We read all those letters. And I wish that I could respond to them all, but we can't. And so that's a big need. But you need to be grounded yourself. You need to know what you're responding. It can get to be overwhelming. We have a friend in Wisconsin who has maybe a dozen pen pals at one point. He's disabled. He's at home. But it got so much of a burden for him, he's had to cut back to two or three. It takes effort. It takes commitment. But if you want a ministry, this is a very big place for a ministry, is somewhere in the prison system. I do not recommend that women be pen pals to male prisoners.
Amen.
Or vice versa. It leads to trouble. And that's one of the things that happened with the guy I hired. He was a bank robber. And he married a woman while he was in prison who just happened to work for the local bank and trust. Now, he didn't get away with anything there, but it's a long story, and I won't go into all of that. But you have to be careful, very careful. But don't let that turn you away from what you can do. So anyway, that's basically what I wanted to say. So let's go to questions. comments. We'd like to get the questions on the recording, so we're going to pass the mic around.
Dean, you had joked that you thought at one time that all of the men in Texas were in prison. And I'm aware that we've got one of the highest prison populations in the world in the United States per capita. And I wonder if any of you that are sharing can share with us any of the things you've heard about, the very easy ways it is that people have run afoul of the law and ended up in prison.
Personally, I can't answer that question. Is that something you can address, Fabian?
How easy it is to be an inside?
How easy is it to get you find yourself incarcerated?
In Texas, it's very easy. Texas has very harsh, supposedly far-right Christian laws. You break one, you're going in. In Texas, and all of us on the system, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. It's that easy in Texas. It really is. It isn't hard, and it's no different than the Torah. You break one, you break them all. You follow Torah, you won't have any problems.
One of the problems I see is that our incarceration system in this country is totally opposite from what Torah teaches about people who get a crosswise with the law in a community sense, if you will, a social sense. We should be sending many of these people to a place where they can learn productive work and they can give back what they might have taken from the victims and learn in a setting, learn to live by Torah. But that's not the way we do it. We lock them up. And I can't imagine personally in that situation. But you know, the day's coming when some of us may find ourselves there for our beliefs. And you have to understand that. I do remember meeting a man one time. He said to us, he said, "I went to Vietnam and I did everything my country asked me to do, things I shouldn't have done." He said, "I came home, I got a construction job in Colorado." Excuse me. He said, I fell off second story building we were working on, landed on my feet. He said, "From that point on, I was in constant pain." He went to Florida. He got arrested. He got stopped on a traffic citation, missing headlight or something, and they found 3 ounces of marijuana in his car that he was using, he said, for pain. And he spent, 5 or 6 years in Florida prison for that one charge. He was a bitter man, trying not to be, but that's the way it goes. Okay, anybody else? Yes.
I have my sister's incarcerated, and I've had other family members, unfortunately. And we also live near 3 prisons, and it's been on both of our hearts to do prison ministry. My question, and maybe you can answer this, is how do you keep yourself safe? We have 3 daughters, and I do know prisoners have a lot of time on Google. And in our prisons, you're not allowed to use an alias, and you must use your last name, too. Is there a fear of worrying about prisoners getting into your life?
No. When you come into a group of Messianics, there is no fear. The first time we went in, the lock clicking behind me made me a little more apprehensive than anything. My guys are... I am not afraid of my guys. And when you see on TV women walking down the prison and you get the cat calls and stuff, that doesn't happen in real life. It just doesn't, because we're in a different area of the prison. We're not in the prison where you've got the troublemakers and whatnot.
And even most prisons in Texas now are getting faith-based dorms that people can be in for a year. So, and that's helping, regardless of what religion you are, that's at least a good foundation.
Second part to that question, can you guys elaborate how you get into the system, how you start your ministry, how can you get in the door?
Oh, okay. First of all, it has to come from within the Texas prisons. I don't know about anybody else. They have to have a group there of at least 15 to 20, and they have to petition I-60s to the chaplain that they want services, and they need to put in a roster. And then sometimes most of the time, if it's possible, the chaplain will call you or call somebody to start some kind of ministry. So therefore, then you go into an orientation where you spend 4 hours on the Sabbath, unfortunately. These are all crooks. They will manipulate you, and all that's true. And some of the things that Dean said already about don't give your, especially women, even to women, don't give your home address, because they have boyfriends in prison and husbands in prison. So, and then you go to the orientation and then work with a chaplain and try to find a time slot, which will be like getting hen's teeth in Texas.
Probably the biggest request we've seen in letters to Hebrew Roots is we need someone to come and teach.
I had an opportunity 15, 16, 17 years ago to visit the Attica prison, which of course is very well known, as a sportscaster, sports personality. And actually, when they invited me, I thought it was something really special. I found out the other seven guys they invited before me wouldn't go in. So I wound up going in. But the point being, I think if you have something to give to the inmates, and he could probably justify this, then you earn their respect. I think it earns the opportunity to do a ministry, to really reach out to these people. And the people I talked to, one guy had been in the mafia, no telling. They didn't know how many people he'd killed. But they said he was the boss. Even though he was in prison, he was the boss. If they had a problem in the prison, they went to him. And then he took care of it, even though he was inside. But also, eventually, this man became a believer. And so he was transformed from a villain in the mafia into a way that he could help the prisoner. So it's interesting how you can really go in and use whatever you do, and everybody in life has something we're special in, and use that with the prisoners and then reach them. And so also I'd like to know how I can help with your program here you've talked about. Even though we're in Missouri, how can we help through this system?
You're asking me that?
Right.
Okay. We're a real small time deal. This thing grew. It's growing past where we can handle it. There's a great need, and we want to continue it. So you can contact us privately, and we'll kind of interview you and see if you're going to be diligent in what you agree to do. Okay? Because if you start something, continue it. If you take on a pen pal, stay with it. They don't need another disappointment in life. They only get a couple letters and quit. We've learned a few stamps can change people's lives. It can have a huge impact on their life. We're a small time deal. And the scriptures, another thing I wanted to get on this tape, the scriptures tell us that we are to open our hand wide to our brothers. Okay, and it doesn't necessarily mean a bunch of money to them. Maybe you send them a stamp or something if you want to, but they need our time. They need our prayers. We have hundreds of people praying for us. We set up a ministry, we call it Dose of Torah Ministry, a P.O. box and things so we can get it in. My name's Gary Dose. Dose of Torah, another great idea my wife did, okay? We have hundreds of prisoners praying for us. That is huge in our lives. I totally had unexpected that. And these guys are sincere. And they're praying for these other prison ministries too. These guys are serious. They get in there and they study. They got time to study. They get serious, a lot of them. But contact us privately and we'll see what you're... willing to do and able to do.
Yeah, okay, we're thank you. This is a woman, she's 28 years old now, who's in the big cash, who we met her through.
Question. Keep up the questions, please.
Okay. Relationship with her. How can we create something in our area similar to what you're doing?
You may have to create it yourself. Ask those doing it for ideas. Okay, it's a lot of the stuff we created ourselves, but we asked others to help us. We got to go out and go forth on our own. Okay, we're called to go forth. We're not playing church here. We don't have to be underneath somebody. We do want to be under leadership and under wisdom, but by those who've already done a few things. Go create something.
I'd like to address something you question about fear. In the units I've been in, even the worst, those on medium custody, the wild ones, when they see volunteers coming in, they revere them. They revere them. They are grateful for them. It doesn't matter how bad they are. And the ones that get all the cat calls that you were talking about are the officers. They will not disrespect the volunteer. When they see a husband and wife team go in, especially the Messianics, you just see them be in awe because the man, the husband, trusts Father enough to bring his wife in. And you will get their attention a lot quicker. Make them listen. Now, do not worry or fear. Scripture states, do not fear. And that goes mostly for you for taking, if you were to take her on the inside. And when I saw Ron and Donna the first time, and I'm like, wow, he's bringing his wife with him to help us learn. That made a big difference to me. Do not fear. Go in. Remember, there's one bigger.
It is after 11:45. Our time is up, but we're willing to stay as long as people want to stay, okay?
Well, I just wanted to say that for a short time in Tennessee, as a member of the one of the local churches of God there, we had a prison ministry that we went into the prisons in Nashville, and we never got anything but respect. And unfortunately, it wasn't the prisoners that drove us away; it was our own disunity within our church that destroyed that ministry. And I also wanted to say that for a while I didn't know about the P.O. box. I was writing to prisoners that were men. I had a P.O. box, but, you know, they were so desperate for encouragement, just a word to let them know that somebody cared, you know. But you were so right about the unity. I feel that that is, you know, just so important that once we start this, you know, they look forward to that.
Do you have a question, ma'am?
No, that's question? A comment.
Okay. Let's get the whole comment for later. Let's put questions on.
I live very near Leavenworth, Kansas, and of course that brings forth the military prison, the federal prison, and Lansing has two state prisons right there within a very short period or space. Is there a difference between those kind of prisons, the military prison, the federal prison, the state prisons? Is there a big difference, and how do you even access that?
Personally, I don't know. Does anyone know the difference? I have been in a federal prison a couple of times tuning a piano. Had some contact with some inmates there who were around. But I really have no idea. Do you know?
Every prison has different rules and regulations.
Yeah, sure.
Every federal, every state, every different state. Different state prisons within a state prison have different rules. When we mail in things, sometimes they get complicated. There's just one little letter misspelled or something like that, they might throw it in the trash. Okay, or send it back to you, then you have more postage. Just, you got to check out the rules of the prison. If you have a prisoner on the inside, so oftentimes they know the prison. You can contact these prisons, contact the chaplain, you can find them on the internet, and you can ask them and start there, or know somebody there. Yeah, another question.
One comment. I just wanted to make one comment that there are women in prison, too, and some of you women might want to find a women's unit, and you could visit there.
Well, that was my question. It's mostly for you, Dean, because your mailing list is bigger. Is how much interest is there in the women's prison? You see the same enthusiasm?
I would have to say the ratio of men to women on our mailing list is probably 95 to 5, or maybe more. Maybe it's greater. But we do have, huh?
I've always wondered why.
I don't know. But I do know we have some women who are very, very much into the whole Hebraic roots thing by the letters they write.
It goes back to volunteers. But I can honestly respond to the question. My fiance, my betrothed, is in prison. I met her through a newsletter. The women's movement, Messianics, is very, very strong. They're crying out for volunteers. They are crying out for volunteers. It is growing. The services that they keep at the Gatesville Women's Facility is growing. They need help. And it does boil down to volunteers, and it boils down to what they're able to get on the inside, because the guys pass it around. The guys keep passing things around. Same thing with the women's. Once it gets in, it starts getting passed around. But it is going to take time. It is going to take time. But it is growing.
Would you have to use your real name, or could you use a name that is neutral gender to write? Leslie can be male or female.
Well, I don't know. Fabian shaking his head, no.
My response to that is that you would be deceiving. You are not portraying who you are. You are not being honest with him or the inmate. And they need honesty and sincerity from us out here.
Okay. Any more questions?
Since you have such a large prison population that you mail to, how are you funded?
We are funded by donations of our regular subscribers and some prisoners who do occasionally send us a if we, in opening the mail, where I get 50 letters from prisoners, if we get $40 total, including stamps, it's a good day.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how we can start being a pen pal. Can we actually refer ourselves to your ministry and you guys could refer us to someone?
We have not put out a call for people who want to be pen pals for a long time because we have no way to fulfill that obligation. My thought, what Susan and I have talked about over the years, is we believe we need someone to run a clearinghouse, of a pen pal clearinghouse for prisoners, where they would the letters would be mailed to them, and then. They would go through their list of available people who have volunteered to be pen pals and connect to people. And this would even get you further removed from them knowing where you lived, because the address would always be this clearinghouse. Whether they were sending to you or you were sending to them, you would use that address when you mailed. So that's a job that someone, if you want to take it on, it would probably require someone who's retired or independently wealthy, because it would not be a small task. But we can try and connect you with somebody, but our list is quite old. I've done that in the past, but I'm not sure how effective it would be right now.
Thank you very much.
No.